I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
K-Rex.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC. D-Lo, we got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo, we your number one spot, we your number one spot, fresh from sports, huh, got the city going crazy when we work, huh, we top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh, and when you need the real, we is who you search, huh, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, we your number one spot.
Vibe check, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. What's good? Welcome in here to the Tuesday, April 23rd edition.
Maybe the worst show in the history of our radio station.
We're like 7 seconds in.
This bothers me that we're sitting here wearing the same damn hoodie.
We do.
This bothers.
It didn't. I noticed it when you walked in. But now we look ridiculous on the screen.
That's what I'm saying.
Next to each other.
It's potentially the worst show we've ever done.
We do look. It's of all of the years, I don't think it's ever happened before. In 3 years of selling hoodies, I don't think it's ever happened before. And now that we are on a screen side by side,
that's what I'm saying.
We look ridiculous.
I wasn't even tripping until I got on the screen.
Yep, we look ridiculous.
This is awful.
It's not good. It's not good. I'm sure Trista will have jokes. Jason Jones will have jokes. They're both with us here today. But nonetheless, I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
I've always wondered if people know which one of us is which, and, well, now they just won't be able to tell us apart.
That happens pretty often, though, and understandably.
Are people not knowing which one of us is which? Oh, that happens
all the time. D-Lo, what's up, big dog?
Yeah, that happens all the time.
And sometimes I don't correct them.
My favorite.
That's good.
Man, it was one of the shows. It was one of the concerts we were going to downtown, and we were killing time. And me and Nikki D went to maybe dive bar just to grab a drink. Like, we was just kicking it for a minute. Maybe it was before Eric Bellinger or something.
I think that was Bryson Tiller.
Yeah, something like that. And I guess someone was walking in behind us, and they were going, KC, and it's not registering, I'm not hearing it, because he's not talking to me, so, I'm not, and I knew you weren't with us,
right.
KC, and then all of a sudden, I hear Nikki start chuckling, and she goes, no, that's D-Lo, and I turn around, and guys like, yeah, D-Lo, hey, I love your guys' show, man, I'm a little drunk. But I really love your guys' show. I was like, oh, thanks. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it. It's all love.
That's one of my favorites.
That's definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, that does happen. Like I said, the Kings games. D-Lo, what up, big dog? I just say, what's up?
Yeah, that's all you can do. It's still better than being Deuce and Mo. Hey! That one's still.
No. What about the guy, game one, who Trista was trying to explain with the show.
Yeah,
it's like, so, I'm a big-time Kings fan, man. You know, spent a lot of money to be at this game. What? Who are you guys? What? You got a podcast? What? I'm a big-time Kings fan.
The best part about that was, is he knew Trista. Yes. He knew who Trista was.
He did.
Had no clue who we were. None.
That's why
I told you about the lady at the store when I had the Beam Sanctuary joint on, and she was like, "Hey, where did you get that?"
Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
I was like, "Oh, my man made it." And at the time, I didn't know where to get. He was just giving them to us. Yeah. Alex was just giving them to us, and it was like, "Oh, that's dope." I said, "Oh, you're a big Kings fan?" She's like, "Yeah." So, "Oh, me too. I love the Kings." She's like, "Yeah. Who's your favorite player?" "Malik Monk." "Oh, me too." And I keep thinking, she's, "Oh, are you?" I keep waiting. And then I could like look at her and she's got the, "Will you get the hell away from me?" look on her face. And I thought, you know, well, happy shopping, ma'am. Ruined the whole weekend. Just deflated.
That's why I always push back when little old Reese, I'd be like, "Dad, you're famous." No. Son, I'm not.
No.
Far from it.
I was this close to going, "Yeah, I love them. I talked about them on my radio show every day." Radio show.
"Oh, you have a podcast?"
Yeah, well. Well, that's what you would have got. Well, I don't listen to the radio. I listen to podcasts. Okay, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Enjoy your day. Don't buy any rotten melons while you're here.
Oh, man.
Just out there trying to pick blueberries, minding my own business.
Shout out Whole Foods. There's a Whole Foods coming to Elk Grove, first one ever.
Oh, salute. Yeah. It's a big deal.
Yeah. Can't wait. Whole Foods and a Yard House in the same complex. Right next to Costco and In-N-Out.
Well, that's like Roseville. Roseville's got the Yard House and
Roseville got a lot of nice stuff.
Yeah, the Fountain's got the Yard House and the Whole Foods in the same spot.
Mm.
So I think there's Whole Foods in Roseville.
Oh, they got a Whole Foods over there where that Yard House is?
Yeah.
Oh, so.
Yeah, in the Fountains.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think there's three, because I think there's one in Folsom and there's one on Arden.
Mm.
I think that's it. So the fourth one will be Elk Grove?
Yeah.
That's dope.
What's the place I used to? Obviously, it's not a Whole Foods, else I would have said that. But, yeah, the first one is going to be on Elk Grove Boulevard.
Okay.
Early 2025.
All right. And when's the Yard House done?
Same time, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. And they got the only drive-thru Chipotle in Elk Grove. I haven't been able to test it out, but.
Well, it's because you're family.
Michigan's right. Nordstrom's Rack is coming to Elk Grove as well.
Yeah, Elk Grove blown up.
Yeah, Damien don't know nothing about Nordstrom's Rack though. He don't do that stuff.
See, don't do that. I've been to Nordstrom's Rack, that joint. I think it's still there on How About Arden.
Yeah, it's a good look.
I mean, that plenty of times.
That was a mistake.
You
were like, "Oh, I didn't mean to come to Nordstrom's Rack. I thought it was a regular Nordstrom's." It was an accident.
You really be making me out to be something I'm not.
That's just what happened. And, I can't wait. I like Whole Foods, Jazzy 510. Well, when's the last
she
time
asked,
you
when
shopped?
Was the last time you grocery shopped? That's a good question. When was the last time you grocery shopped?
I mean, actually, grocery shopped has been a minute. I go into Safeway and Bel Air for things here and there. But actually, with the list, it's been a little while. But I'll go to Whole Foods. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. I like Nugget, though. I'm a Nugget guy. There's nothing there.
I don't know. I don't know. It just does. It feels inappropriate. It feels inappropriate. I'm not sure, but that's fine. Nugget, they're the ones that like popping up everywhere. I think in the Rockland area, they're building a new Nugget on one of the areas out there. And I know,
like,
where I live now, that Nugget is relatively new.
The only one I used to know was the one right there on in Green Haven. That's the only one I knew for a long time. Now they all over the
place. They all over the place. There are two right in my general vicinity now. So them joints stay popping.
Once again, D-Lo knows about Nugget. That is not Food Max. All right. So, you know, I know about Food Max. He goes to Nugget. It's just different tax brackets, bro. It is what it is.
Okay. All right.
Take it to the max. That's what I do. That's where I'm at.
Nugget is like around the corner from me. Like that, I go to what is closest in proximity.
I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah, your proximity. I mean, the neighborhood, everything.
Why are you
I'm
doing
saying.
This? Like, why? Like, what is the purpose? Is. Like, what is the purpose of what's? We're wearing the same exact sweatshirt. Like, what? We're both wearing a free sweatshirt. Like, what? What is the point of what's happening right now?
Scuba is right, man. Hey, man. Nuggets for the 1%.
Yeah, I'll just.
I go to Food Max.
I'll just be out here talking stupid. Man.
I go to Winco. Yeah, man. Hey, Weezy, no, I go to Winco, man.
You ain't been to Winco.
I do go to Winco.
No,
their chicken
don't.
Is good, too.
No, you
chicken
don't.
Chicken and Winco is good.
You ain't been to Winco. Knock it off. Knock it off. I don't know how we got here. But again, blame the Kings. This
well,
is the offseason.
We had a game to talk about. None of this would have happened.
And the sad thing is the games were great last
night.
They
were phenomenal. They were talking about Inside the NBA, their best doubleheader of all time.
No, I was good.
It's hard to argue that. There's one that I remember. I don't know if you remember it.
Okay.
But this was – LeBron was in Cleveland the second time. Remember he had a game winner against Indiana? And then that same night
– I remember that.
OKC came back against Utah. They were down like 24 in the third quarter. And Russ and
that
Paul
was
Jordan,
yeah.
That was I remember that one.
I don't think I knew that was the same night. I remember both of those games.
Yeah, it was same night. That's the one because I remember it was the same kind of discussion. Like, oh my gosh, this doubleheader, greatest double. This might have surpassed the yesterday though. That was
no, last
that
night was
crazy.
The end of that Knicks game was crazy.
Man.
Absolutely,
man,
fire.
And it was a movie in the Garden.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
Even when they were trying to talk to Brunson afterwards, and they were still just going crazy in the Garden. Like, yeah, it was a movie.
So they talked to Brunson. That was TV. Mm-hmm. So Dante must have been the radio.
Yeah, I guess so. Or they might have talked to Brunson because I saw them talking to Brunson on Inside the NBA. So maybe they didn't record it live.
So the clip I saw, the one I saw was Dante, and yeah, they were going nuts. Now that was fire.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, the 76ers down what like 5 at the free throw line with like 47 seconds left. Yeah. That was a crazy missed the free throw, crazy finish.
Was he fouled? Was Maxie fouled?
Sure. Like
yeah,
I mean,
by the letter of the rule, he was. But I mean, they let a lot go. They let pushing off go in that situation.
There was
a
lot that happened in those two games. Yeah, like D'Angelo Russell was fouled.
Yeah.
Like D'Angelo Russell got the Domas treatment.
Yeah.
Here, I don't. I mean, it's not shade. It's not hate. It's
no,
nothing.
Laugh at him.
No, I'm not laughing.
No, it is funny.
No, it's funny hearing somebody complain. Like everyone saw D'Lo get hit in the face. It's hilarious hearing somebody complain about someone getting hit in the face when our center, who according to the league ain't worth spit, gets a black eye during the game in which the foul doesn't get called.
Every time.
Dude emerges like a fighter from every damn game that he's in.
That's
but D'Angelo Russell and the replay center messing up a foul call is what gets
has to do his
attention.
Damn exit interview with a black eye.
Goodness gracious,
And as D'Lo would say, no, this is great. LeBron and the Lakers complaining about officials.
No, it's fantastic.
These guys go to the line 400 more times than anybody else in the league, and they're just, I don't know what we're doing here. All
what
right.
a joke. What an absolute joke. Yeah, let me tell y'all hoes something. You couldn't survive being a Kings fan. Yo, what the hell is that on TV for?
Why is this going on? That was
what was the purpose of that?
Showing the Robert Horry shot on NBA Today.
Oh, they're showing buzzer beaters into it. No one asked you.
Yeah, bro.
No one asked you.
Damn,
that
was it a 20-point comeback. That's as salt in the wound.
Yeah, we don't even acknowledge that.
Samaki Walker shot shouldn't have counted. The one at the half, it shouldn't have counted.
That's a shoot. It shouldn't have. It shouldn't have.
I mean, what do we have replay for if if Samaki Walker shot going to count?
Well, your LeBron sounds suspiciously like Shaq.
Shaq did it yesterday too. Did you hear what? Did you see Inside the NBA when they were doing the replay of the Knicks and they were like, "Is that a foul?"
Oh,
he's like, "No! You said he fouled him right there. Don't even know you fouled him."
Oh, animated Shaq is funny. We'll come back. We'll get started. We'll talk more about the association last night, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday, but really never dove into it. the article that Sam Amick and Anthony Slater wrote in The Athletic regarding the future of Mike Brown. We'll touch on all of that. We're just getting started. We're happy you're here with us. Steelo and KC in matching outfits, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That'd be cool too. You know, I had a thought over the weekend because everybody was upset with Drake and Kendrick, and they're like, "Oh man, why can't this just be a regular
nobody
battle?"
Nobody mad at Drake. Ain't nobody mad at Kendrick.
Well, the battle
Kendrick ain't
itself.
Do nothing.
They want him to respond, but he hadn't done it yet. Huh? But
you can want all you want.
But and you know, we're talking to Kamara, and he's like, "Oh man, he's making this a circus or whatever." Da da da. And what I thought about was Drake is. The Fiend in the Firefly Funhouse,
mm-hmm.
and the match he had against Cena. It wasn't a match. It
oh,
was
where
just,
he had the where he had the sweater on. Yeah,
that's what Drake is doing to this whole thing.
Yeah,
it's in the fire. What is it? Firefly Funhouse. Is that how he said
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And he's just sending them through all these these worlds.
Yeah, that was the pandemic, the original pandemic WrestleMania match.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it was Cena and White. That's one thing I wanted them to do a little bit more in that documentary about Bray on that match. They did quite a bit, and it was a lot of fun. And Bruce Prichard told the story of how much input Bray had in that. I would have liked John Cena to open up a little bit more about how much input he had on it. It's one, the documentary is really good, but that Firefly Funhouse match / segment was so creative.
It really was.
It was so good.
And it was just different. I mean, obviously they were kind of forced because of the pandemic, but it was just so different than anything you had ever seen.
I still can't believe they didn't do Taker Sting. Like the amount of things you could have done in that Mania with
the Taker's thing was supposed to happen in that one. In that
no, thing? It wasn't. It wasn't. Mm. But it felt like it was the perfect opportunity where
I got you.
They don't have to wrestle.
Right.
Like they're not doing bumps.
Right.
They're not. You can't mess
AJ.
It up. You could have done that.
Yeah.
And maybe it was. I mean, they obviously had no problem beating Sting. Like I don't think Sting won a single match in the WWE.
They did him dirty.
And I felt like you could have done something like. super special there that everyone wanted to see, and you could have involved lightning and fire and all of this goofy stuff, but they AJ Taker thing wasn't good. It was good.
Right.
I just felt like it could have been, you could have had that dream moment with Taker and Sting, and
that was
pretty
different too. That was like a movie.
I think they were called cinema matches. Where they were shot like movies.
And we wondered if that was going to be like wrestling moving forward. It wasn't. It was just,
it was very much not. It very much was not. The Boneyard match. Thank you, Mark. That's what it was. The Boneyard match.
Oh, by the way, while we're here, it's not that one. Hold on, everybody. Let me just throw in a flag.
For what?
Things I saw elsewhere.
Well... That'll take us into the article that we read on The Athletic. Sam Amick, he gets fined every time I say his name. So,
oh, man, poor Sam.
Sorry, Sam. Sam Amick and Anthony Slater wrote an article about the future of Mike Brown. We talked a little bit about it, more alluded to the article rather than actually discussed it. And I think James brought it up during that ill-fated appearance with us yesterday.
Oh, we got that.
By the way, shout out to our fantastic engineering team. We were frustrated. We had no idea what was going on with the computer and James's audio and all of that stuff in the 3 o'clock hour yesterday. Of course, I blamed Kyle because that was the easiest thing to do. Seth came in here immediately following the show, started working on the computer. It was so bad. Seth was like, okay, I don't know what's going on, but I'll continue to work on this. I could just do it remotely. Mm. So he goes back to his office. We do our 3 hours of KSFM. He's working on the computer the entire time because every time he does something, I can see the screen change and move. I can see when he clicks on something, does all that. They were working on it well into the evening.
Yeah.
I think, according to Kyle, they got all of the issues figured out. But shout out to those guys because we thought it was – probably just one little button that was off and we couldn't figure out what it was. It turns out it wasn't. It was an entire operation that had to happen yesterday.
Can you imagine? I probably shouldn't say this. Tribal Chief won't like this. Big Boss won't like this. Philadelphia won't like this. But can you imagine if if they said, Seth and Jonathan said, we want more money. We're striking right now.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And if they said, well, no, we're not giving it to you. And what would happen around here?
That's the funny thing, too, because I feel like that's the case. It's absolutely 100% the case in this building. But, like, think about where you work for those that work in offices. Like, how important are, like, your IT guys?
Man.
Like, if you have some sort of system that runs on technology... Your IT guy is arguably the most important person in the building.
Yeah.
And yeah, if they just said, you know what? Because D'Lo and KC could be like, hey, we're on strike. They'd be like, oh, word? Okay.
Get in here, Joe.
Yeah, right. Hey, guess what? It's the Joe Brazil Show. Starring Joe Brazil. Joe's sitting there in that other studio like, this is all you idiots do? So far, you've talked about wrestling and grocery shopping. You don't think I can do that for 4 hours?
That's Omar?
That's poor Joe goes home every day. You won't believe these idiots I work with. This is the most absurd thing. These guys get paid to do this.
But Jonathan and
Jonathan
Seth.
Jonathan and Seth.
Probably shouldn't even put that in there, but they're going to be mad at me. Putting that in the atmosphere.
Yeah, man. And to me, losing Jonathan and Seth here at the Odyssey Studios, that would be like what happened if the Kings lost Mike Brown, in my opinion.
Man's got skills.
Now there's other engineers. There's other IT guys. They can't do what Jonathan and Seth do. There's other coaches. I'd argue they can't do what Mike Brown does. Mike Brown is, and I understand, I'm high on Mike Brown. I've been high on Mike Brown. Y'all know our Cleveland insider, my best friend from Cleveland. He is not a Mike Brown fan. He did not like Mike Brown when he was the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers the first time. He really didn't like Mike Brown when he was coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers the second time. doesn't really love the fact that Mike Brown is the coach of the Sacramento Kings right now. We have two very different perspectives. I was watching Cleveland from an outsider's perspective. I always thought it was a fantastic coach. I heard the complaints about him. I've heard people discuss the flaws of him before. I also think that was Mike was a very, very different coach at the time. He was a much younger coach at the time. He has much more experience now. I feel like Mike Brown is a terrific head coach. And the Sacramento Kings even remotely considering a future without him, I think, is a huge mistake. Again, not saying they are, and that's not what the article said. That's not at all what Anthony and Sam wrote. But when you read through this and you decipher, you're kind of left to figure out, well, what is the future? Next year is the last guaranteed year on his contract, which means essentially, and this is, I think, what James said yesterday, he is going into next year. Next year is basically a lame duck year, which no coach wants. And to me, it's an issue that you've got to get dealt with quick. Yeah. Or let me rephrase that. It's an issue you've got to get dealt with sooner rather than later. And the complexities of the team missing the playoffs. Again, you win that game Friday, or you finish where you're supposed to, you're probably not doing much thinking here, not having much conversation. You have 2 years with Mike Brown as your head coach. You have two playoff appearances. Regardless of what happens against Oklahoma City, you lose all four or the first four. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. 2 years, two playoff appearances. Now it falls on Monty. There's a lot that's falling on Monty McNair right here. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, missing the playoffs probably muddies things up for those guys a little bit. My argument yesterday is my same argument today. It shouldn't.
I agree with you. The reasons are a little bit different, maybe. I just want to bring some continuity to this franchise.
That's it.
You know what I mean? And if he wants another deal, there is an argument to be made against like such a high profile deal. I don't subscribe to it, but I'm just thinking of all sides. There is argument like, all right, man, like we got to the playoffs, but we got worse. And then we need you to get us back to the playoffs. So to say that, and nobody, there wasn't a specific number involved, but to say you should be paid like an upper echelon coach, some people would say, hold on, wait a minute now. Like we need a little bit more results than one playoff appearance. I'm just playing devil's advocate. I would negotiate and sign him to a deal. Number one, because I like Mike Brown. I believe in him. Number two, for continuity's sake for this franchise and trying to build something that you can depend on with some stability. So I don't see any issue with making sure he feels good and feels secure with this franchise moving forward. So, yeah, man, give him the contract. I absolutely agree.
If I'm Mike Brown, I hear what you're saying. Whew. Okay. Where's Steve Kerr? There he is. If I'm Mike Brown, and it gets to this, bro, I'm already the second most successful coach you've ever had at this organization. There is a Sacramento Kings curve here, because when you talk about the upper echelon coach, you're talking about Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, Eric Spoelstra, and Monty Williams. Said this yesterday, Monty Williams is the outlier.
He's
in this.
The Rudy Gobert of all this.
He is. That's absolutely. He's 100% the Rudy Gobert. All of those other guys, they got titles, they got title appearances. They've got in all three of their cases, they've got longevity. They've got a lot of different things going for them. Monty is the exception in this. When you look at the list, and I think this is the most updated list, you go to Nick Nurse next. Mm-hmm. Nick Nurse is a championship coach. He won a title with Toronto. Then you got Jason Kidd. If these numbers that I have are correct, those two guys are about eight per. So you got those guys at
Nick
eight per.
Nick Nurse and Jason Kidd are eight per?
Mm-hmm. And then you've got Monty at 13. you can slot. Like, I think there's a fair argument.
What you thinking? Because I don't know if we're thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I don't think we are either.
Because I would say, I might say eight might be your max. If you're Mike Brown, if I wanted to be a jerk and like play hardball with the situation, like,
and I think
you
I
want
have
me to give you more than Nick Nurse.
I think I have Rick Carlisle at 7.5. I think he's next, and I think I have him at. I'm putting multiple different articles together to try to form this. Mm-hmm. And so I think Rick Carlisle is next on this list at 7.5.
And
Rick Carlisle champion.
Like, once again, for continuity purposes, I like Mike Brown. I'm trying to build something. If he asks for 10, like, all right, man, I'll give you 10. Let's make this work.
And I think that's where I'm at.
That's how I would do it. But if once again, if I wanted to be, you know, the jackass about it, you want me to give you more money than Nick Nurse and even Jason Kidd?
So here's no. Yeah, but here's the thing.
If
I'm Mike Brown's agent, it's like, hey, no, I hear you. You need to treat my client a lot closer to what the Detroit Pistons treated Monty McNair than what the Philadelphia 76ers Monty Williams, sorry. The way they treated Monty Williams to the way that the Philadelphia 76ers treated Nick Nurse. Because you need you fire Mike Brown, you don't bring Mike Brown back, you're that laughable organization again. My client's going to get this team back to the playoffs. He's going to need his general manager's help, but my client's going to get this team back to the playoffs. You wanted metrics. You wanted improving on defense. You wanted all these different things. Look, we can show you all these different things. Most coaches, and this is, again, an argument I would make if these discussions were happening this offseason. I don't know whether they are or not. My client, most coaches get the benefit of the doubt when they lose key players. Mm-hmm. My client lost two key players in a span of three games. Mm. My client had minimal amount of games where his two best bench players actually played together. Trey Lyles and Malik Monk barely played together this season. Most coaches are given the benefit of the doubt when it comes to those situations. My client still finished with 46 wins, despite the fact he played 14 games without his starting two guard and 9 games without his most important reserve.
I hear you, as now I'm the ownership now, I guess.
Now everyone knows. Everyone knows if you're...
I hear you.
You and Uncle V.
I hear you, but I'm not listening. Because all you're telling me is, you want me to give you... You want me to pay for the sins of a stupid organization that...
Boy, that sounds
overpaid.
Like a meeting we just got out of. Sorry.
Oh, man. You want me to pay for the sins of a stupid organization that overpaid some random head coach? Because that's by outside of that one person, your slot is anywhere between this $6 to $8 million range. And you want me to go way over that and give you 10. How about, I don't know
so
if
how about
work
this?
Out, but how about, how about I give you 8 and you get a $2 million bonus if we make the playoffs?
As an agent, I don't know that I'd fight a little bit longer, but I'd keep that deal in my back pocket. Rick Carlisle's won an NBA championship. Mm-hmm. Who was
the perennial playoff coach? Like,
Jason Kidd has not. Nick Nurse did. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget, Mike Brown has been to an NBA Finals.
Yes, yep.
Not to mention, he's been a championship assistant. Mm-hmm. Boy, it feels like that 10 is a tough argument.
And to be honest with you,
it feels like that 10 is a tough argument.
I'm negotiating comes down to it. If you say you're walking out the door, you twist my arm. Here's the 10. I'll give you the 10. But I'm gonna push back a little bit on
so
that.
So this,
like, come
this,
on, man.
this. So as again, acting in behalf of my client,
wise man,
I'm fighting for 10. Mm-hmm. But me and my client have already discussed. We're looking for something in the range of 8 to 9.
And if the reports are correct, I think. Not saying it's like the greatest deal before, but. I gave you 8, you'd be doubling the salary. They only make 4? Ain't that what the reports are?
Yeah, I don't know what Mike Brown makes.
I thought the reports is that he was 4 mil a year. We're going to double up the salary. Come
that's,
on now.
If Mike Brown makes 4 million a year, that's kind of insane. Oh, that gave me the wrong Mike Brown.
Whoa.
Gave me a Minnesota Vikings Mike Brown. The hell did you think came up?
I don't know.
It looks like it's 5.
Double it and give you 10.
It's a four year deal worth 20 million, but we know about the I think that's the number. I think that's correct.
Okay.
Four, so 5 per.
I would give him 10. I would give. I'm just negotiating right here. I'm just negotiating, but I would give him 10 million a year. It's really
so. Here's I'm piecing some things together. Mike Brown 5 per year, entry level coaches. That's a quote from a website I'm looking at. In the NBA, earn an average starting salary of 3.5 million. Okay, again, go back into my agent mode. My client is not an entry level head coach.
He's not.
My client is returning to the position of a head coach in the league, but let's not disregard the multiple 60-win seasons that he had as the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers and the deep playoff runs that he had with LeBron James in that group. Mike Brown, and it's the gift and the curse, and I don't even know that there is a gift. It's the curse of being LeBron James's head coach. You're not going to get credit for it. No matter how good, you're only going to get criticism for being. It's part of the reason Ty Lue gets so much credit. Ty Lue did something that no one besides Eric Spoelstra could do.
Yeah.
Until, I guess, was it
Vogel?
Vogel
didn't do nothing.
Who was the Lakers coach?
It was Vogel who won it, but he didn't do nothing after LeBron yet.
So
Ty Lue has.
So Ty Lue did it, and Ty Lue gets revered for that because of the way he allegedly talked to LeBron James before, like, Game 4 of the finals or something like that. But there is, like, a curse to coaching LeBron James. Frank Vogel is experiencing it. The only one who hasn't is Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah.
And that's because Pat Riley just flat out wouldn't allow it. I'm not firing Eric Spoelstra. I'm not entertaining replacing him. None of that. Spo is just fine. But Mike deserves credit for what Cleveland did. Mike Brown is not an entry-level head coach league. And he still gets criticized because that Cavaliers team didn't beat that version of the Celtics back then to advance to the NBA Finals. Yeah. And we saw what happened when Cleveland replaced Mike Brown. It's one of a series of things that went wrong, and I'm not going to just, you know, put this all on Byron Scott because that's not even remotely fair. Mm-hmm. But it just all completely fell apart. Mike Brown deserves a lot more credit as a head coach than he gets. He is worth a lot more than the $5 million he gets. Now, is he worth 10? That's the discussion. Is he worth 8? Absolutely, in my mind, because Mike Brown is not. He's a lot closer to the Rick Carlisle category than he is to the Darvin Ham category.
For sure.
Or whoever is on the list of making, you know, $3 million and some change per year.
For sure. So I'm going to offer you 4 years, $8 million, $2 million playoff incentive bonus.
$8 million per year, $36 million, $2 million per year playoff bonus. I'll do you one better. I want the $2 million playoff bonus the first year, next year.
If you make it, it becomes guaranteed?
Yep.
Okay.
I love that we're negotiating money that's not ours. Like, Kenny was really thinking about it. Like, oh, I don't want to spend this money.
I almost said we can make a guarantee if you make back-to-back playoffs, but I'm not going to do that. We've already made the playoffs. And
be two playoffs in 3 years, mm-hmm. and it will just continue to etch. Like, let's be honest about what we're talking about, too. Let me think this through real quick. I'll look it up. I don't want to speak out of. Is this the first time? I don't know anyone's brought this up before. Is this the first time Mike Brown's missed the playoffs?
No.
No?
He missed it with Cleveland for sure.
That's right. I forgot. He was back with Cleveland for a year.
I don't know how long. Did he miss it twice with the Lakers or just once?
I don't think he missed it with the Lakers.
Well, I was counting it the year he got fired, but
well, he only coached 5 games. So the only year that's correct. So he missed I forgot he went back to Cleveland. The dumbest thing
still,
he ever did.
That's still what one or 2 years in a 10-year career or something like that.
He's missed the playoffs this is only the second time Mike Brown's ever missed the playoffs. That year with Cleveland in that 2014 season, which was a bad idea by everybody involved. He finished 33-49 and missed the playoffs. He missed the playoffs this year at 46-36. Mike Brown, remember, he was fired 5 games into the 2012-2013 season. Mike Brown has finished below 500 once. 46, well, 2011-12 is a shortened season. In an 82-game season, his lowest win total with Cleveland was 45-37. He finished 46-36 this year. The difference in that 45-37 was he lost in the conference semifinals. This year, he finished 46-36 and didn't make the playoffs. This man has a win percentage of 607. There is absolutely no conversation that this man should be the head coach for the Sacramento Kings. For the long term,
yeah,
he absolutely should be.
I'm with you. You think a deal gets done this offseason?
I don't know. I hope so.
I don't like
another big, you know, hoops hype pull from the article was that was aggregated all over the place. That conversations have not happened. I don't think that's terribly unusual because he does have a year left on his contract. If they went through this offseason with no discussions, to me that would be unusual. And from my perspective, that would be concerning.
I see, and I understand it. I know we got to go. I understand it.
I didn't even notice. honest to God, let's just keep talking.
But I didn't even think about his contract until people brought it up. Like I didn't feel like this was the year to start talking the off season or the summer to start talking contract. But I get it now that people have kind of laid it out, but it really didn't register to me.
So Joe, I messed up. We've talked too long, so I'm just going to keep going. I think what has gotten everyone's attention was that fourth year isn't like a solidified fourth year. I think they called it a mutual opt out.
So let me ask you this. If we said the fourth year is just take that off of there, it's guaranteed. Do we still need to negotiate a new contract this summer?
This summer? Probably not. Probably not. But you have to next year. So
that's what I would do if I was a Vec. I'd just make that fourth year fully guaranteed.
So excuse me. So my guess is these conversations might be started by Mike or Mike's team thinking we were a 48-win team last year, made the playoffs. I understand we missed the playoffs this year. We're still a 46-win team. He's already outperformed the $5 million contract that you signed him to. That's 100% a guess on my part. But this article, which, you know, you have to be careful when you read stuff that is framed to come with the mindset of Vivek. Because my energy will not change on this subject. There are people in or around that organization who work against Vivek Ranadive. Mm. And they work through it publicly. Mm-hmm. That's not shading either one of these writers or their sources or how they get their information. I'm just saying not everybody in or around that organization is pushing in the same direction. Mm-hmm. So whenever you read something from the perspective of Vivek Ranadive, I think you have to just keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. We got information on what we were told was Vivek's thinking regarding Zach LaVine. We never really brought it up because I was skeptical of it. Mm-hmm. And not skeptical of who shared it with me, but skeptical of why someone shared it with them. Mm. Because the dialogue around Zach LaVine at the time was not overly it's not overly positive today. It sure as hell wasn't overly positive then, mm-hmm. especially with, you know, the contract and the situation the Kings are facing with Malik Monk. So whenever you read Vivek thinks da 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 da, be wary of what that says, or be wary of what that might mean. Vivek obviously wants to win. There's no, I have zero question about that. Mm-hmm. I think moving on from Mike Brown or Monty McNair at this point would be a mistake. However, particularly Monty McNair, because he's the only one who could really do anything right now. Everyone's off. Mike is done. De'Aaron's done. Domas is done. All those guys are done. Monty's day is just beginning. Mm-hmm. Monty's season is just starting. Yeah. And he has the most, I feel like we said this last year. Maybe we did. He has the most important offseason of his general manager career ahead of him.
100%.
And
even if we did say last year, this trumps last year.
Yeah.
Last summer. This is important.
And you tried something last year. Mm-hmm. And people can argue whether it was the right call or the wrong call. Hindsight says perhaps it was the wrong call. Mm-hmm. Maybe he didn't mean to take that approach. And we don't think that he did, given what we know about the Harrison Barnes
saga.
Process. Yeah. Like, given what we know about that, we don't think it was his intention. Shoot, even given what we know about Siakam, mm-hmm. it wasn't his intention to do it a certain way. It's just wound up being that's how it happened.
Well, didn't it come out that they recruited Kyle Kuzma and they talked to him or something like that? And then they just, you know, even Kyle, I don't know if that conversation or not, but Kyle said, you know, I wanted to stay in Washington, D.C. I want to stay here. But
I don't know.
Free agency, didn't it come out that there was a meeting?
I don't remember that. There may have been. I remember the Kyle Kuzma part. Mm-hmm. I remember that Kyle Kuzma line. But yeah, we always talked about, like, it's not just Monty might, whatever everyone's wish list is, Monty could have had the same exact wish list. Mm-hmm. The difference between him and everybody else is Monty's the only one who can actually execute it.
Right.
And if he can't, he can't.
Right.
And Kyle Kuzma, or to a certain degree, OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, name Kings fan base favorite trade target A, mm-hmm. to a certain degree, they have some level of say in this. Mm-hmm. And he just kept coming up empty.
Yeah.
And people can argue, well, you can't come up empty. Well, that's fine. In the case of Siakam,
it's easy to say that.
Well, in the case of Siakam and how this is likely to shake out, I'm perfectly comfortable with him coming up empty in that situation. Mm-hmm. In the case of OG Anunoby and the way we're pretty certain this is going to shake out, I'm perfectly comfortable with him striking out in that regard. Yeah. Connect the dots with OG Anunoby in New York. It's not hard to figure out. Mm-hmm. He ain't going nowhere. There was one team that really had a chance to land him. It was the New York Knicks. I don't think there was only one team that had a chance to land the Indiana to land Pascal Siakam. But we'll find out in 2 months what that Siakam deal was all about. Because I would rank Siakam's chances at signing anywhere other than Indiana at 0.0001.
And if he does, if something does happen, then something went drastically wrong.
And I don't even know, even then,
because I think things were said or whatever the case may be. Even if they went wrong, you can't go back on it.
Yeah, I don't think that. I don't even think that's the case. Like, something goes drastically wrong. The only thing that could go drastically wrong is Indiana gets cold feet. And, man.
Well, yeah, even. But that's what I. That's what
because Siakam ain't going to get cold feet.
No, no. So that's what I'm saying. If they did, hey, man, in no roundabout way, you told us something. Mm-hmm. No, Pascal. Yeah.
No.
Indiana are full of liars.
Oh.
I repeat, they are full of liars.
Kenny Harden over here.
Yeah, one of them situations. But
and poor kids in China looking around like, I just wanted your
autograph. I just
want to
learn a crossover. What are we talking about here?
You're looking at him like, who's Daryl Morey?
So, yeah, to your point, like, the Siakam deal is probably done.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what the answer for, and that's why the Zach LaVine thing keeps coming up. That's why the Kyle Kuzma thing will keep coming up, not just because of players and their potential fit, but more specifically because those are players who, and I hate, apologies, they just have a lot less control. Mm-hmm. OG, Pascal Siakam, those guys had all the control in the world.
Yeah.
Kyle Kuzma don't have that. Like, he signed his deal. Zach LaVine doesn't have that. Like, he signed his deal. And so... Siakam, this version of Siakam will be in the position of Zach LaVine in a year, where if it doesn't work with Indiana or all of a sudden Indiana doesn't like this deal anymore, now Siakam has no control over what's about to happen with his career. Mm-hmm. Same thing with OG Anunoby. The New York Knicks bring him back. Oh, we wanted OG. And then they realize, man, we were better without him. Look what we did without him during the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Now OG, now you can revisit it because OG has no control over it anymore. It's the gift and the curse of the contract. If you strike when the iron's hot, if you're cooking and there's a couple of teams out there for you, it's the most leverage you're ever gonna have. It's why I never it's the Malik Monk conversation. Malik Monk may never have more leverage than he has right now at this particular moment. Oh. The Sacramento Kings desperately need him. Everyone on the planet believes, everyone at least in the basketball world believes, he's gonna get offered what is to Sacramento the maximum amount they can offer. Anyone watching the Orlando Magic the last couple of days think, well, they need a score. Crap. Every Kings fan tuning into this Cavs Magic series is like, Jesus Christ, will you guys score a basket? Will you stop showing everyone how desperately you need Malik Monk right now?
Yeah.
And he may never have more leverage the rest of his career than he has right now. And that's why I never fault these guys. The OGs, the Zach LaVines, the Kyle Kuzmas, who take advantage of that. Yep. And that's essentially what Siakam did.
Yep, and he's going to cash in. He's going to cash in that money in the bank.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So,
yeah.
Moral of the story, Mike Brown should stay.
Pay Mike Brown. That's the moral of
Mike
the story.
Mike Brown should stay. Like, figure that out.
Pay Mike Brown stay. And don't start over.
Yeah. Get him here. And even with Monty McNair, he would have some level of security with me as well. I don't know if that means like you have to sign him or something like that, but I definitely would make sure he had some level of security moving forward. Like you keep these guys here, you let them build.
A couple of quotes from the article. Team sources say that there's been a wait-and-see approach from the ownership side to this point, with a feeling that those around the franchise that singular results, i.e., the huge win over the Warriors, the gut punch to the Pelicans, could weigh heavily in future decision-making. That's a dangerous game to play, say Ant-Man and Sam Amick. Ronna DeVay has not yet approached Brown with an extension offer. Both sides have known for months now that this discussion was nearing, but the outcome of it will set the tone for the Kings next for the Kings season to come. Without a resolution, it has a chance to become a distraction. Mm. Interesting, interesting, interesting. Hmm. Even more interesting, I think we all knew this. We've discussed it in the past. It's just, talk about a gut punch and seeing it in writing. Kings went 15-8 against six of the season's eight Western Conference playoff teams. Mm. Mm. 15-8.
And it's just, it sounds crazy to say because they're not here and they lost those games against, you know, the teams we feel they should have beat. But they were good enough to be here. They were good enough to compete in these playoffs. And I'm watching the playoffs, you know, last night and over the weekend, and man, it hits a little harder that they're not involved in the playoffs this year after being there last year and having the season that they had this year. It's like, oh man, I'm looking at, you know, movies happening in the Garden.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I'm seeing OKC, you know, and their crowd. And I'm like, I already know the Golden One Center would have been crazy. Like, it hits a little different.
Yes.
It's a little different right
sucks.
Now.
Sucks. Is what it does, as does my time management skills. So we'll step out. We'll come back. We'll talk more Kings basketball. I thought there was a really interesting line. I think it actually closed the article that Sam and Anthony wrote. The Kings are stuck on the doorstep of something special.
Mm.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk more about Malik Monk as well and his fit with the Sacramento Kings. Phone lines open for you, 916-909-1320. Steelo and Casey. Brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.